Good afternoon, Muskegon.
Good afternoon.
This is Tony Williams.
And Chauncey Williams with What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.
Chauncey, man, we started out 2017. Weather was balmy, nice. And a few days, we realized that Michigan is a place where if you don't like the weather today, just wait till the next day. Because it'll change and you still won't like it. It's cold out there, man.
Ooh. The weather, like I don't even say it, like our girls' hoop squad right now.
Oh, they cold. They ice cold.
Yeah, we up and down. But we're going to be all right. You know, it's a learning adjustment. That's what I think about. We like Michigan weather right now, you know. So.
Yeah, it's early yet, man.
Yeah, it's early. So we're just going to figure it out, turn it around, put it together, put it back together like it's supposed to be. But it's a job when you're coaching, it's just, hey. You think you're doing something going in one direction? It's going in the next.
Oh yeah.
Yep. So we got I think when this airs, we'll have played Mona Shores girls. They're a pretty good team, and the boys play before us.
Yep.
On Friday and Saturday. That's the classic.
The holiday the showcase.
Yes, right.
Classic.
Yep.
Cause at Redmond Potter Gym, come out.
So that'll be playing. The games will be going on when this show is airing.
The show is being aired. Yes.
That's right. Yeah. So. Go check it out, Muskegon, if you hear this. So you'll be like, oh, the games is today. Chauncey was talking about that.
$10.
Yep, $10. All the games are worth it. I know some of the guys in the NBA that Coach Guy have athletic directed to that game.
Okay.
A lot of guys got drafted out of that. DD.
Oh, yeah.
Tyler Euless, the big boy that went to Kansas.
Okay.
From Curry.
From Curry, yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So a lot of guys that made it to the pros or got close or was on big time television playing ball, Coach Guy got him in the gym to play in the Potter. So.
Yeah, and there's some guys that, you know, that's probably about ready to make that leap to the next level.
I know it's a guard. Had a guard last year that was a sophomore. I can't wait to see him Saturday. He's a beast.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that. And just seeing, you know, and just having our game on Friday and just, you know, it's basketball. See, it's cold outside. Right. Come in the gym, community.
That's it.
Come in the gym and have some fun.
It's warm.
With your community.
So that's the difference between football fans and basketball fans.
That's right. That's right.
Football fans have to sit out in the cold. Ooh. The basketball fans.
And go in the struggle.
Gym.
That's right. It's that time of the year where we at right now with where we at the tax season.
Oh, tax season. Hey, before we go, we gotta get one more sports piece in here.
Okay.
Okay. We're talking about the national championship.
Alabama and Clemson. I would put Penn State should have played against them.
Okay. Man, was that a football game or what?
Was it which one?
The Penn State USC game?
Oh, yeah, it was. I thought you were talking about the Clemson and Ohio State game.
Oh, no.
I thought it was like a practice for Clemson.
Oh, no, man.
That made Ohio State look like they don't exist no more.
Yeah, yeah, the Big Ten.
We laid an egg.
We didn't show up, man. Nope. I can't think of a Big Ten team that won.
I don't think nobody won.
Well, Wisconsin.
Yeah, they played Western.
And it was a lot closer game than Wisconsin thought they was going to have, too.
Man, it's Big Ten not looking right now.
Okay.
All right.
So, yeah, man, I don't know. I'm glad we don't have anybody playing Alabama.
I'm glad. Praise the Lord. Because when they put on Michigan State, they beat us 56-0 that one year.
Ooh-wee.
It took me back to, like, before the Rose Bowl with Lorenzo White and them. I'm
right.
Like, we don't have nothing.
Nothing. Nothing.
They just raced our season in one game.
So, I tell you, I guess when it's all said and done, in my opinion, these are the two best teams.
Yeah, it is. Okay. They don't play.
And if there's anybody that can beat Alabama.
It's Clemson.
It's Clemson.
You're right.
No one else on the planet Earth.
On this God green earth.
Gonna take care of these Alabama Crimson Tide. Because I tell you, boy, they put a whooping on Washington. They kind of call the dogs off on them, man. So
yeah.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
Take them away.
Yeah, so. But, yeah, let's get into the substance of – of the show tonight, which is going to be interesting. We're going to discuss the IRS.
That's right.
Three of the most dreaded letters in the alphabet. So, what do you got, Josh?
I got mine is standing up to the IRS. What does that look like? Like it's that time of the year where the levies come, the liens come, mm-hmm. the letters come.
Mm-hmm.
If you've been set up a payment plan and you didn't finish, you underpaid, overpaid. Whatever the case may be, that's when the phone gets to ringing. And just going back, standing up to the IRS, I can remember my first time being audited. I've been audited twice in my lifetime because I do contractor work and I work as an educator.
Mm-hmm.
So I always had 1099 W-2s. Always had that. And one year I did extremely well, and I remember I was doing some things, and they audited me.
Okay.
And I was like, I looked at the number. I said, oh, hold on. What's this? It said I owe $15,250. And I was like, I was shocked. I can remember at the time. And I think I called the person that I was dating at the time, and they was like, why are you panicking? You got a tax pro. Your mentor that been doing your stuff every year. Just call him.
Right.
So I called my tax pro. He laughing at me. He's like, oh, he said, you stepping up, young fella. I like, what you mean? I was like, what you mean? He said, you stepping up. He said, now you in the Big Bears game.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you doing everything right. He said, right. You got me on your team. He's a retired accountant for the city of Detroit, CPA.
Okay.
So my buddy Alonzo, and he still does my taxes to this day.
Okay.
And I've been audited twice, and he was a tax pro that deal with it. I was just going to let the audience know today how to find you a tax pro, look for them, and what to look for when you're in a situation like that. And because there's certain amounts, it's levels, like as they say with the song, hip-hop songs today, it's levels to this. It's levels to this tax game.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and you hit on a point earlier when about that letter, okay?
Yes, sir.
You're going to get a letter and read it immediately because it may not be as bad as you think it is, but don't ignore it because they are not going away because there's penalties and interest that is accruing at the time. So, like you said, when you get the letter, read it. If you got questions, make the phone call.
Yep, I got an example, too, out of my notes. It says, this person was levied. And it said, what triggered our levy was my failure to call the IRS back at the specific time to update them on our situation. I had written the call back day on the wrong month in my daily planner. Now, he said, the best thing to do is to seek competent, specialized help with people who have a background in working with the IRS. As early in the process as possible, our entire levy could have been avoided if I found a tax pro earlier. So a lot of times people say, I know how to deal with them, I do this. And then they wait, they procrastinate.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they get to, because a lot of times they say, you got 90 days to respond to this letter, you got so many days
right
before we do this. So what you do, you open the mail, just throw it somewhere.
Right, yeah, put it over in that pile.
And then
I get to it.
And then you look, your wife call you or somebody call, we got a letter that said we about to get garnished at 100%. Because certain levies come in, they come in. Like I say, the IRS make a mistake sometimes. They take all of it.
Oh, yeah.
They take that whole check.
It's different than in the court of law where you are innocent until proven guilty.
Oh, they coming down with
okay. They take the money like you're guilty, not prove your innocence. Okay? That's how that works in reverse.
Yeah, but what I figured out is when you get a tax pro, you can have debts as high as I had it at $15,000. When my account got done with it, I got some money back.
Okay.
Then I had some friends that had some higher numbers than I had, and he put them on payment plans. I'm talking about debts as high as $100,000. He was like, Chance, I'm paying $50 a month for 3 years. I'm like, what? But see, the tax pro know how to communicate the right way.
Right. Yeah. So they probably did some, an amended tax return.
Yes.
And basically reduced the amount that they said that they actually owed. And as a result of that, here's the payment plan that you have that you got to do for the next 3 years. And you cannot miss a payment.
You cannot.
Do not break the deal.
Because they're coming out. They're going to set it right back to the original plan to take that 100%.
Right, right. So if you miss the payment, the deal is off. We back to zero. We're coming after you for all the money. They are serious. Absolutely. And most of the time, most of the time, IRS folks are just doing their job, okay? And there are some that are helpful.
You're right. There's some that are helpful.
And there are some that are not, okay? They're the largest collection agency in the world. And some of them take that to heart, and they want to bully you, intimidate you. And because I think there's probably some tracking system in the IRS that says who collects the most dollars for delinquent taxpayers. I'm pretty sure there's a tracking system.
Yeah, who the best.
Right. So there might be some bonuses tied to that. Okay, what we got next?
The three different kinds of tax pros. Number one is the enrolled agent. And they call them an EA. It's usually a full-time tax advisor and a tax preparer who is permitted to practice before the IRS in all matters. So most EAs cannot represent you in a tax court. However, they earn a designation enrolled agent by either passing a difficult exam or having at least 5 years experience working with the IRS or for the IRS. They must also participate in continuing education programs to retain their EA designations. Kind of like a teacher.
Yeah. I have
service credits.
Yeah, I have to do the same thing. Matter of fact, my date is April 1st.
Yeah, I got to do the same thing as educator too. I got to update my certificate. I got a degree I just gained, so I got to go submit it. So then they'd be 7 more years that my teaching certificate be. So they're not playing. They make sure that you're liable.
Oh, you stay current, yeah.
Yeah, you got to stay current for what you're doing. So that's the first kind of agent that you could possibly seek after. And it said it usually mostly EAs are usually the least expensive of all tax pros for a cost-effective approach to handling a tax problem. Or if your tax problem involves less than $10,000, consider an EA. Somebody. So that's I ain't saying that's a little league, but I told you my first audit was $15,000. So that wasn't little league to me. When I was making a certain amount of money, I think I was in my teaching job for 2 years and I was running a business. And when they hit me with that $15,000, I was like, I looked at the number, like, you know, I'm like, it's a comma right there.
15 grand to give up right now.
You know, then I thought about that. Like, I just started my teaching job, $15 I got to pay. I'm trying to calculate in my mind. So I probably can handle that. So my accountant laughing at me like, you don't have to do that.
Right. Yeah. And you have to make those decisions. And that, you know, one of the key points is that, example is if you owe them $1,000 and you got $1,000 in your checking account, but your rent is due, don't pay them the $1,000. Nah. Pay your rent.
Pay your rent.
Okay.
And then do set the payment or call a tax pro. And the next person you call is, but with the enrolled agent, you got to watch it because some people take their job too seriously. It's like being somewhere and you like, you know, you go to a fast food restaurant. Say, yeah, man, let me get some fries, large fries with a shake. Double burger, and then you're like, give me some ketchup. And he's like, right. They give you two packets. And
right.
Like, hey, look at some our policy says only two ketchups. You might catch that guy that's an EA. They used to be an IRS agent and didn't do too well at it. And he got the Bible walking around with the IRS laws like the Bible and probably get you back in trouble again. So you got to watch those too because if they cost efficient, it's like having a court appointed attorney.
Yeah,
like, oh, man, you know, your money only going to take you this far. You got to be careful. So you only going to get what you pay for now.
Absolutely.
So if you find yourself in a $10,000 problem, you got to get an EA. Is it really worth it? What I found out with my accountant is whenever he tells me my CPA, whatever, because that's what I have, and he's on this list too. He's number 3, the certified public accountant. And that's the next one we'll go to. He always used to tell me a number, and I never said no. Okay. He said, Chance, it's going to cost you this. Because I've seen what he's done for me in the past. It's going to cost you this, Chance.
Yeah, and you feel it's fair.
Yep. Because I know what, I'm like, you work good with them numbers. Mm-hmm. That's your job. You went to school for it. And that's the next person. It's a certified public accountant. They call them CPAs. They are licensed and regulated in all states. See that right there? All states. Not just your neighborhood, not one place. They do sophisticated accounting and business audit work. So I was audited. So he was good with that. And they prepare tax returns. To become a CPA, an accountant must have a college degree and work experience with a CPA firm and must pass a series of rigorous exams. So that means that's that guy that took Calc 2. He took stats.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he knows the game.
Yeah.
And that's all he do is look at numbers. Every time I call my accountant, I don't know. I think he's just 24 hours, 365, 7 days a week. I call, hey, John, how you doing?
Eat,
like, what you doing?
Breathe.
Man, I'm doing some late night work. And I tell you what they have on them all the time. Manila envelopes.
Okay. Put them piles away.
They don't never run out of envelopes. He got tons of those things. And he had 2 and 3 computers running up and there. Got several people working for him. And it just lets you know that money is their game. And they serious about it.
Yeah.
And he's able to come with the code. As the codes change, those people that are up on those codes, they know when the laws change, what you can qualify for, what kind of funds they can help you get in the future. So just a CPA is just someone that can take it to that next level. And say some CPAs, however, are not aggressive as the third one that I have is the tax lawyers.
Oh, yeah.
When facing the IRS personnel. So you get my CPA was pretty good. I guess he was from the city of Detroit. So school of hard knocks. He done did it for the city of Detroit account. So he done seen some tough people come in.
Oh, it's no doubt.
So he had that dog in him. So I appreciated him, and I still appreciate him today. I got to go see him in a couple weeks anyway, sit down with him, have some lunch so he can give me some more tidbits and how to build. So it's always positive to have those mentors around.
And, you know, it's good to have those experts, okay? But even as an individual, you need to know your rights. So there's a little bit of homework as an individual that you need to do.
That's right.
When you're dealing with these lawyers, the IRS, the CPAs, so you will have some level of comfort as to, you know, are we going down the right road with this process? You trust them, and you hope they do the right thing, but you should have some working knowledge of what you guys are dealing with.
You're exactly
and not
right.
Just be totally ignorant to the fact.
Yeah, and just pay them money. And
yeah.
What I've noticed is my CPA always tell me, say, Chauncey, you usually come in with everything already set up. Your process pretty easy. So you have you got everything itemized of what you do for your job. He said, then you have all your 1099s from your business money that they gave you. He said, then you got that itemized. He said, you got them in envelopes already. You got everything typed out. You got all the receipts.
Yep.
And he said, you got the technology now. You know, the technology, you can put everything in the technology. The little things that say how many miles you have and all that.
Right.
So I have all that. And I give them to him. He say, see, he said, I taught you well.
Okay.
I said, you're not walking in here with a whole bunch of envelopes with receipts, and I got to help you organize. He said, your package takes a pretty good time. And he said, that's why I charge you what I charge you. And if you had any problems, we got all your files going back to 1999. So I appreciate that. And I was just thinking the other day, I was like, that man been helped me from when I first got my first job as a professional. And it's just been great because every step I've taken, whether it's business, nonprofit, coaching, teaching, I always consult him. And say, man, what do you think, man? I was like, I read this there. He said, that sounds good if you want to do this, but then think about this.
Yep.
He said, you could buy this vehicle and you could claim this if you do this. I'm like, well, I didn't think about it like that. Okay. Say, go get a used one. Don't buy nothing brand new for this one.
Get the appreciation off of
that. You say,
man,
you'll still get the same business claim on it.
Yeah. Yep. You just don't get stuck with the large depreciation on it.
That's right. That's what he talked about. So it's like, it's good to have those CPAs around to be able to do those. So they do the bigger jobs for you. The third one is the tax attorney. Tax attorneys, they do various types of tax-related work. Some examples are they do special tax. They have a special tax law degree or certificate at the tax law specialist from the State Bar Association. And their stakes are $10,000 and above.
Mm-hmm.
So my stake was at $15,000, my first one. So I was like, so they in a heavy game.
Yeah, yeah, because there's a market out there for that. There's a lot of folks that avoid paying their taxes.
Yeah, and then they have a balance. Then with them, with a tax attorney, they have a balance of knowledge that with sales skills they can present in your case.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that, when you look at a tax lawyer, a tax attorney, I'm going to say this the best Christian way possible I can, they're able to negotiate for you in a way where they ain't got to reveal everything. They're like, my client, A, B, and C, this is what we looking at. This is what we looking at on paper. This is what we going to argue. This right here. This is what you told me, this number.
Yeah.
But it might be another number somewhere else, but their job is to deal with that number. They know how to make sure they get you another 5 years or whatever it is you need before you another audit or something comes.
Right. I can show how we got this number.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I'm calling you, your tax attorney. Like, I'm calling you, this young man, about this $15,000.
Right.
That's what you said.
Yeah, it might be 30, but this is the number we can prove.
Yep, we can prove. So let's work this number out and let's make a deal. You know, so just seeing that, just having that skill set around you, that's just saying that you could be in possibly good hands. But it's always go out and look in the community, ask your friends that's on another level or a mentor or something you have, say, who do your taxes?
Oh, yeah. Because you need to determine if you actually owe the money.
That's right.
Okay. They make mistakes.
Yes, they do.
All right. So part of that process is to make sure that you do owe the money. Get you an expert.
And my thing is, I always had a tax pro, and I used to try to talk to my friends. They were just happy about making money.
Okay.
I've learned things from my tax pro, like taxes is nothing but a loan from the government. It's like you taking your money, and it's interest. You giving them an interest-free loan, and they get your money back at the end of the year. He said, Chauncey, how you want to do it? He said, you want to claim a higher amount of exemptions and put that money in your tax shield or the annuity? Or do you want to take it and invest it somewhere else, and then you get your own money back at the end of the year, and then you claim taxes on that? You know, so it's like I was presented with so many different
options.
Scenarios.
Yeah.
Coming in as a youngster at 20 something and just sitting down and just being able to show me. And I'm not saying I'm at a high level, but I've hit my head enough to at my age now where I know that, okay, this is how it's supposed to go. I've been told about this already. I've been told about that. And then I can always go back and console someone that's been with me through the whole process. That's a professional.
Well, you know, the bottom line is, there's a way to do business. Is the right way and the wrong way.
That's right.
And if you do it the right way, it's so much easier.
Yes, it is.
To prove what you're doing is not illegal. So good advice from your guy. Do it the right way. Might cost you a little bit more.
But it's worth it.
But it's worth it.
Yeah, it's worth it. And I remember helping out some of my friends and sending them to my tax pro. And they was like, man, that's a lot of money. And I look at them, I say, well, how much money do you get back? He's like, I got this back. I said, did you ever get that before? He said, no. And he said, he taught me how to set up my own business, too. I said,
okay.
All right, what are you talking about?
You know,
you pay him one time, and he just added something to your life that you can have for the next 10 or 20 years. That's what he did for me.
Right. So as individuals, you got to look at it as an investment. I'm investing my future in this guy for the right advice to lead me down the roads to show that at some point I'm going to make more money and I'm going to get more money back.
Yeah. And the powerful thing is, it's like, it's crazy. I was listening to something earlier today and it was a motivational speaker. He was talking about Warren Buffett and Jesus. I'm like, how did you get to these two people? And he said Jesus, over his life from zero to age 30, he could walk on water. He could do all these miracles, right?
Mm-hmm. Raise the dead.
But he never was cocky with it. That's what he said, right?
Uh-huh.
He said, raise the dead, all this.
He was humble, right.
But he said, why at 30 did he start his ministry? And he only did it for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
He said, because the first 30 years he listened.
Okay.
I was like, oh, he listened.
Yeah. That's profound, man.
Man, I say. And then he got to talking about Warren Buffett, and he mentioned Warren Buffett because Warren Buffett has several mentors throughout his life starting out early. And then everybody, all I see is this old man. But nobody don't see the man that first started working with Pepsi, you know, with Coca-Cola, doing everything he did.
Rich.
He wasn't rich in the beginning, but he got with the rich people, and they taught him.
Yep.
And he learned, he read the books, and he listened. And the speaker was talking. He said he was in his room with all these rich people. And he said it's like his second time being in the room with him. And he said, looking at the other guy's suits, and he looking at Warren Buffett's suit. And he was like, hold up. He said, that's not a Pat Riley shirt. That's a JCPenney.
Right.
He said he got on JCPenney's suit. but he's the richest man in the room.
But it's
and everybody
suit.
Else got on
all these
Versace's and all this. He said, right. So I'm looking at Warren Buffett. He got on a JCPenney suit. But all these guys that got on this high designer, and they supposed to be the who's who in the world for money, they are like, they're amazed by the guy in a JCPenney suit.
It's a suit.
It's a suit.
That's it.
So it's just like
in the room. How much you want to pay?
So when I think about a tax pro, I think about somebody that can give me advice about something that I trust. I trust my money.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, why not put my money where my mouth is and learn and close it and listen to somebody that's a tax pro?
That's it. That's how you become wise.
That's how you become wise, because you have to do
listening.
It.
Yeah.
Because it's three things those tax pros can do for you. For one, it's consultation and advice. And lots of times when you pay that money for that, because I do my taxes, but I call him throughout the year. And I ask him, like, I'm about to do this to this business venture. What do you think of this? He said, well, you do this, you're going to have to you're gonna have to add this to your bank account. You're going to have to do this. You're going to have to do that.
Right.
So that's through the year. I'm asking that in September.
Yep.
Or I'm asking that in February.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not tax time. I was like, hey, man, I'm about to buy this car or get this house. What you think? He's like, oh, I don't think you ready yet. Like, you don't think I'm ready yet? How long you been on that job? Where you at? You been advanced yet?
Mm-hmm.
You got this much income put away? I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I can afford it. Like, no, you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So you not ready for that yet? Mm-hmm. So that's what a tax pro tell you. It'll get across your head if you built that relationship up with you where they can check your files and build your situation. So that's the first thing. The second thing is a negotiation. We talked about that when that audit comes or that tax lien or that judgment to the point when the IRS come in and try to level your money.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? He's like, well, I need a negotiator.
You need some options.
Somebody will get some options. They'll talk to you as a regular man,
mm-hmm.
but they know you walking in, they rubbing their hands together like, we got you. You owe all this money and you about to come in by yourself? You really about to come in by yourself and you owe $20,000? We got straight up fool in front of us.
That's right.
He has no representation.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Think they gonna be nice to you? You think they gonna be nice? I hope we be nice to you because you came in by yourself. Mm-hmm. You brave man.
No. You got to be able to make an offering compromise. You can't pay the 20. All right. That's off the table. Okay. If we're setting up a deal, like you said, if you're not represented, then chances are you're not going to come out of this very well process. So you even go in there, take your lumps, or pay someone
that's
to
right.
go in and represent you.
And that's the next one, representation. It's like when a lion see a lion get in line.
Okay.
So your tax pro is the lion for the IRS.
Right.
He see you, the IRS see you, they look at you like, that's a lamb.
Mm-hmm.
I'm about to eat.
Yeah.
But when they see another tax pro, they say, oh, this man gonna speak the same language I'm speaking.
This ain't my first rodeo.
That's right.
Okay. I done rode this bull before. So let's have at it.
Let's have at it. Let's go at it. Your wig gonna match my wig. Okay. We gonna mark a deal up for my client. How yep. about that? I can represent my client. He got a power of attorney with me. Let's go.
Yep.
If you check all his tax returns, I'm the one that signed off on it. My agency signs off on his tax returns. His name is on there, but I'm the preparer. Let's go.
Let's have it. Okay.
Well, in 2005, 2007, he did this. Yep. What was this? Oh, this young man tried to start a business doing this, and some things happened. We had to make sure he had showed some losses here because he took a big loss in investing in this company.
Oh, really? Okay. Oh, okay. Let's strike that. Let's take that off.
Yep, there you go. But you know, that's how they do.
That's how they do it.
That's how they do it. Mm-hmm. So it's like I done heard some conversations on the phone being in those offices and seeing some real fights verbally.
Yeah.
And they get down, especially when those numbers get to like 500, 700,000. And you're dealing with athletes and stuff like that, because he has some couple of athletes on his clientele. And I done heard some conversations just hanging in his office. It's like, whoa, this is some serious business. So representation. So you got consultation and advice, negotiations, and reputation. Now, my thing is, the question is like, all right, why are y'all talking about this tax time? I want my money. But my thing is, here's a bottom line question for me. Do you need help?
Mm-hmm.
I know you mentioned this earlier. It's Bill of Rights. You have the right to have as a taxpayer.
Yep.
I think you got some of that information for us.
Yeah, Bill of Rights. And a lot of it is around just common sense stuff. You know, the IRS has articles that you can actually go look up. IRS Publication 1, and explains your rights as a taxpayer. Okay, you have a right to privacy, professional and courteous service, and to pay only the amount you actually owe. You choose to be represented by someone else, such as an attorney, CPA, represent, or to represent yourself. So it just goes along those lines to let you know that you have rights as a taxpayer, and there's a lot of things that you should also be aware of, such as, like, don't pay someone else's IRS bill. If you're in business with a partner, or if you had an ex-spouse, don't pay their tax bill, okay? Or IRS Junior holds all signers on a return responsible jointly and severely for the entire amount. So
the whole crew on the table.
The whole crew, yeah. So, you know, again, you just want to be mindful of that. Document everything.
Okay? That's right.
Document everything, because when you have these tribunals, when you go in, to, you know, make sure that they don't take everything you got, you need to have documentation, because that's what they believe in.
I know they believe you're taking everything. I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah. They want to break you down. But if you got representation with documentation, chances are, if everything is accurate, you're going to walk out of that room with owing a whole lot less than what you originally was charged with.
You're exactly right. I had some I wanted to share.
Get help, okay? The bigger your tax problem, the more important it is for you to get qualified professional help, all right? Enormous tax problems can mess up a person's entire financial life, and these problems can work their way into the aspects of their lives as well. So it's worth paying a professional tax person, possibly even a lawyer, if the stakes are high. The sooner you resolve your tax problem, the better. Given a choice, would you rather owe a debt to the bank or to the IRS?
There you go. You're exactly right. There it is.
So that's it.
Yep. So my thing is, let's just say, like, what are you like, okay, this is some good advice, because I see people out in the community all the time. Like, Charles, I don't got that kind of money, or I don't do that. Where can I find me a tax pro at?
Mm-hmm.
Because, see, my tax pro might not work for you. My tax pro live in a different city. But I can say $19.99, you're like, oh, this. He can pull that up.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you here and you like, you need to ask your tax advisor or accountant, or most likely your bank. That's another good option too. They know tax pros. I know when we did some nonprofit work, they was able to help us out with our payroll. They connected us to a payroll company to make sure we did all our payroll right. So that the bank was like, we got somebody that do everything for you. So like a lot of times you go to your bank for advising for accounting, especially if you got a long term history with the bank.
Right.
It's always good to have that. It's always good to have bank
auditors and tax preparers right there.
Somebody that retired and they doing CPA work now and they used to work for the bank, they're pretty good. So it's always good to ask your bank. You check with those. That's a trust. They trust them with their money, so you might as well ask them. Secondly, look on the internet, look it up in your area, tax consultants. And then that's one way. Or the person you bought your house from, or the realtor that helped you show you the house. They know those people. Title companies, banks, they connected too with those people that do real estate.
Because everybody has to pay taxes.
Yep. And then the word of mouth, here it is, professional associations and referral panels. People that you know. Now, who do your taxes? You know, who do yours? Who do yours? Yeah. And once they find that information, those tidbits, there it is. And
yeah, my date's already set. I got my guy, he's already said, this is your date to come in. I have everything done like you said. I'm in there for 45 minutes.
Yep.
He's just verifying as we move through it, and I'm out.
Your account different. I gotta buy steak dinner.
Okay.
When I go down the trail. Because what I used to do, I used to have a mentor me, right? And I say, I'm gonna learn how to build my business. I'm gonna grow in certain things. He said, all right, once a month, we got lunch.
Okay.
And he had to pick it where it was at.
Okay.
Yeah, he had me eating some.
The steakhouse.
$200 meals.
Grand River. What was the name of that steakhouse?
Sinbad's. I'm off by the lake, by Sinbad's, off the east side of Jefferson. He had me there one time. A couple of the real nice, exquisite soul food places. Like, they bringing them little plates out. We got three plates and eight forks or whatever, you know. And we sit at the table. He had that kind of taste because that's the level he was on.
Okay.
But then the time I spent with him was always transferred to some wealth or some knowledge coming to me. Mm-hmm. So it was like, he said, once a month. So we setting our date up right now this month. Because all the 1099s and W-2s don't come at the same time. So he sit me down and tell me what he want. And then I just mail it to him.
Cool.
So like I just go really have a lunch date with my mentor. So it's right. Like one of my mentors. But it was like, at first it was a relationship that I was trying to acquire. Now I got that relationship. And what he used to do to me, when he was doing my taxes, he said, oh, you need to give it a nonprofit. You need to buy this. You need to get a truck. You need to do this. You need to do these things. So you need to write a book. He was like telling me stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was struggling, I was like, man, this not working, man. I'm not seeing no money.
Probably give me some bad advice.
But then he'll laugh. He's like, brother, he said, I'm 50 something. I'm gonna tell you something, young boy. You 23. See, when you get my age, say you'd be lucky to be able to be where I'm at if you listen right now.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're gonna take your falls and your bust your head a couple times. But he said, once you come out of it, you're gonna have business, so you can probably promote and help people.
Wisdom.
And I'm like, I'm sitting here today with on the radio with you, with
wisdom,
another
baby.
With another mentor right now. Okay. And he tell me, he said, he's working out for you. And I was like, I said, I don't got the airplane. I don't got the 747. But I said, God is in the midst of it. He said, I told you. He said, I'm glad you listened to me. He said, you didn't get hard headed when you got a couple dollars in your pocket and run somewhere else and try to be cheap.
Yeah.
So you always stuck there with me. See, some of your friends left. I said, look at them. They still calling you for advice, aren't they?
Yeah.
I said, yep. I said, they still need your help.
Yeah. You're not where, what is the old saying? You're not where you used to be.
That's right.
But you're not where you want to be yet.
That's it, bro. I think that's going to be on close. Hit that again for me, Tony.
I'm not where I used to be. And I'm not where I want to be yet.
That's right. I'm Chauncey Williams.
And I'm Tony Williams.
And this is What Do I Do Now? Your guide to credit, debt, and planning for your financial success with 103.7 The Beat.